Well, good morning. We are finishing up the sermon series entitled Jesus is Good News. So time and time and time again this summer, we have learned about the stories of Jesus, the stories of our faithfulness. I know that our worship team is intentional about the songs that we sing before sermons and after sermons. In fact, we call our worship series, not sermon series, because it encompasses the wholeness of the service. And each one of these songs that we sang this morning really prepared our hearts and our minds for this story. Will you pray with me? In the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the chatter of a child, in the words from a friend, and messages from a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our hearts and our minds, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let you be the center. Amen. So it was interesting that Rachel's children's moment, she told the story from the perspective of Matthew. Okay? So she told the story of the Roman soldier from Matthew, where the Roman soldier sent a servant to Jesus, told the story, and a servant was healed. I'm going to tell the story today from the perspective of Luke. Of John. Before I read it, I want to set up some things that if you were in biblical times, you would just know. Okay? First of all, Jesus is traveling a lot. He's moving in and out of towns, and as we talked about earlier, he is just surrounded by people at all times, right? And these aren't like Plano Parkway, right? These are cobblestone streets that weren't made on a grid system. They're windy roads that get smaller and wider, and just everywhere, people are hearing about this man. This man who teaches in unorthodox ways. This man who heals. This man who talks to sinners. This man who doesn't just transform hearts, but minds, bodies, and souls. The other thing I want to point out is our society and our culture today is a very individualistic culture, right? You need to work hard to be good, to succeed, and it's you, 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 right? The culture in biblical times was more of a communal culture. Your families, your communities, when you succeeded, so did they. Okay? So when I read this scripture and it says son, and Rachel used the word servant, well, we don't know exactly if this was a biological child of this soldier or somebody who became a part of his community. And when he was sick, everybody worried. Do you see these differences here? So I'm going to read it. I also want you to notice the amounts of different people who are around in this scripture. Jesus is a Jew from nowhere. He came from a town where greatness does not come. He came from a lineage that just didn't quite make sense until you see the fullness of the God of Abraham that we've already sung about today. Let's dive into the scripture. John 4, 43 through 54. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So Galilee was kind of like, psh, I know you, like, Jesus, get out. Okay, there's more to that story. But Jesus realized that being outside of his hometown, it was somewhat easier to proclaim the gospel. People looked at him for who he was now, not who they had created in his head. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, and he had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. I'm going to stop there. A Roman soldier came to a Jewish teacher. This is another thing that just doesn't quite make sense. But he knew his faith, he had heard Jesus' messages, and he knew this was his hope. This was his salvation. And not only for him personally, but for his family. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. And this was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. His whole household believed. You see, this communal, and that just doesn't mean man, wife, family. That means servants. That means community. It transformed this Roman soldier's heart, mind, and community. The other thing that I just can't get over this week when I was reading this scripture again and again is Jesus' words healed. He didn't go to the house. He looked at the man and said, your son will live. As we've been learning all these stories, and don't worry, on the way out, I'm going to give you all a quiz on each sermon that we've done throughout the summer. I've just noticed the different nuances of Scripture. So, right, we start with Jesus at the well, meeting a woman, knowing her name, knowing her life, knowing her fully, and she also was fully open with who she was to him. And he gave her living water. His words transformed her life. We talked about Jesus taking time away to disconnect from the world, to reconnect to God the Father, so that he could continue to do his ministry. We talked about how he healed a woman just by touching his cloak. Yet in that moment, he saw her. He knew her. And she was healed, body, mind, and soul restored. Zacchaeus, we talked about last week, was a wee little man, right? Yet in the story, we ask the question, who were you in this story? Are you Zacchaeus? Are you the people who shunned Jesus for talking to this man? Or are you the tree that gave him a new perspective? And in this time, Jesus saw Zacchaeus, his life was transformed, and so was what? His community. I always like to think about practical ways that Scripture can speak to us today. And this is faith. In each and one of these stories is faith. Deep, true, consistent faith. There are many things in my life that aren't consistent. My schedule, the upstairs boys' rooms are nasty. Well, that's consistent. That's consistent. They're always dirty. But my faith. My faith has remained consistent. Sometimes it's greater. Sometimes I just have this like oozing faith of the Holy Spirit that I can do nothing but go and be the best I can be. Some days, I remember this one really bad day, and I was just not good. And I said to God, I don't even know the words to pray right now. And I remember my heart being transformed in that moment of just being real with God. Some days I forget I have faith. I just go about life on an average day, and something might jolt me back to my center and my core of faith. You see, as Christians, we use this term, God is good. Anybody? All the time. All the time. The problem with that is all the time means all the time. That means that God is good each and every day in our lives. On our high horses of high hope and high faith, and in our deep, dark pits of despair, the consistent, the true is that God is good. Jesus' words changed. He made people live. He gave people hope. It is still happening today. That's what I realized when I was reading this scripture. As we're reading these stories, as we did this sermon series of Jesus is good news, my gosh, the scriptures are still changing lives. Communities, homes. In Hebrews, it talks about faith like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Sometimes I think we think of faith as this kind of fluffy thing that we can never hold on to. It's not something that's concrete in our lives. It's more abstract. But I challenge you to see and touch and know and name what faith does in your life. I've seen stories of how faith has saved families. I read stories in Scripture of how faith inspires people to do more. You and I both know if we were left to our own accord, we would constantly fail. It took us, what, one page of the Bible to think we could do it better than God? Because our human nature is this selfishness, is this pride, is that I can do it myself and I don't need anybody else. Honestly, one of the biggest struggles in my marriage is relying on my husband because I can do it myself and I don't need anybody else. Yet it's so much better when we work as a team. My biggest struggle in the workplace is relying on my team, because guess what? I can do it myself. I don't need anybody else. Except for I could not do what the band does, and that's good to recognize. When it comes to faith, when it comes to the faith of this soldier who went to a man who was a nobody Jew and begged for his son, his servant's life, it shows that connectivity with all people to Jesus, even back then. The Jews, the Gentiles, the Roman soldier knew this man could transform their lives. And they could do nothing but live differently after. As you go about this week, I want you to ask yourself the question, what does faith look like? What does faith feel like? Because then your faith becomes something that's fluffy and abstract into something concrete and real. Maybe you can even ask yourself the question of what would my life look like without it? We were talking last night in Saturday night worship. I grew up in an amazing home. Really did. Great parents, great sister, cute dogs, like I had it. And I grew up in a Christian home where I honestly don't know life without God. And those stories that were told to me as a child, those stories that formed me as a teenager and a young adult, that helped me form my children and my family. These are words of Jesus that challenge us all. What story did you connect with most? Was it the woman at the well being honest and true and vulnerable with Christ? Was it Zacchaeus who named that he had done wrong and changed his ways? Was it the fact that you were going constantly and when you recognized that rest is important for faith? Because y'all, we're about to start the fall, and I don't care what pattern in life that you're in, it's going to be busy. It's just these seasons of life, they pick up again, like the traffic is going to stink again. The summer traffic is going away. Yet find your rhythm in faith. So it's not this abstract thing, so it's this real practical thing that you do each and every day. I've worn the crown of head football mom at Reedy High School for the past 7 years, and I have now passed that torch to somebody else. Very, very happy about it. But I thought about it yesterday, is I haven't even thought about the football schedule for the fall. I haven't even thought about what meals we're going to feed the football team, because I'm in a different rhythm. You see, things in our life change, but the one thing that's remained constant and true is I still pray for that football coach. I still pray for the safety of those boys on the field. I still pray for my family each and every day. My faith is what is consistent. I'm going to read it again. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. The meaning of faith. Recognize this goes back to our ancestors. It goes back to our community. It transforms us still today. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval, and by faith, we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Go out this week and have faith. Have faith in our church. Have faith in our word, in our scripture. But most of all, know that Jesus is the good news. Jesus transforms our body, our minds, our souls, and our communities. And when each of you go out and do that, you'll know what your faith feels like, what it looks like, and you'll have no choice but to be better each and every day, not through you, but through the power of Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, sometimes faith is hard. On our bad days, it's easy to fall at the cross. On our good days, it's easy to praise your name. But consistent faith is what we are called to do. Let us see the examples that you have given us in Scripture. Let us be authentic. Let us be real. Let us be true. Let us be consistent. Guide our hearts, our minds, our words, and our deeds this week. Amen.